Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
All right, welcome to Tennis.com podcast. I'm Nina Panchik, joined by my co-host, Irina Falcone.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Our guest in this episode is Joe Cirello, and we're talking about the Bronx Open and the New York Junior Tennis and Learning, NYJTL, for those who don't know it, who aren't familiar, one of the biggest grassroots nonprofits in tennis education in the U.S. And we are sitting at the Carrie Leeds Tennis Center for Learning, where the Bronx Open will be held August 16th to 24th. So, Joe, thanks for joining us.
Thanks. So great to be here.
All right. So let's start with your story. Why tennis? How'd you get into it? And when did it all begin for you?
Oh, God. It's been a while. I've been in tennis almost 20 years now. I had a life before tennis. Was in the theater. Always wanted to do it. And I knew I couldn't go to an office job. I was passionate about getting a gig. And I couldn't get a gig. I went to Italy. And I worked for the Rome Open as a volunteer, and that was my break into the sport, like 20 years ago.
Rome?
Yeah.
I have never been to Rome. Irina, have you?
I have been to Rome, and I'm just going to go ahead and say the pasta is as good as they say.
It is.
A volunteer, as in you volunteered with media, with matches, what were you doing?
I ran the off-site practice court at Due Punti. I was the only non-Italian there. It's cool.
Wow. That's impressive. I mean, everyone has their starts. A lot of times we have guests on that are players and they all say, you know, my mom got me in tennis, my sister. But when we talk to people that are organizers and tournament directors, it's so different because it's like, why are you in tennis? Like, what interests you? Do you have a big passion for it, a big love for it?
Yeah, tennis was a big part of my childhood and I always loved the sport. I wasn't really that great. I, you know, later on went to run the player development unit in New York. And then I realized how bad I really was having that experience to see people can really play the game. But I've always been fond of it.
It's pretty amazing to go and just like pack a bag and buy a ticket to Rome when you're a volunteer. I mean, you obviously were not getting paid, I'm assuming, and to just show up. And did you speak Italian at least?
I didn't really speak it too well at that point. Yeah, to be honest.
Okay. And did you end up staying there? Like, were you there also for like, you know, some people go there and just have like a semester in college kind of thing, or you just strictly went there to be a volunteer for the tournament?
Yeah, it was like a life change. I was thinking about, oh, what do I want to do next? And I planned to be there for a month, and then it wound up being 6 months, 8 months. And it was short of a year, but I had a nice time.
And then you moved to working in the USTA. How did that transition happened because you're based in the U.S. Obviously, you're not in Rome.
Yeah, no, I'm totally an American. My dad's an immigrant from Italy, but no, I still was trying to break into tennis, and I was applying to the USTA for like 2 years, and finally, once I had tennis on my resume, I got a job, and my break-in was in the ticket office of the U.S. Open. So all those years ago.
Oh, yeah. Okay, the U.S. Open. Okay, that makes sense. The U.S. Open's just around the corner, so I mean, it all kind of circles back. And you were selling tickets. You were you're hired this time.
Yeah. Oh no, I was the customer service rep. I spent about 4 years in the ticket office, and then I was the head of customer service by the end. That was rough, but really fun. It was my break into the sport.
I mean, for everyone listening, we're talking to the Bronx Open Tournament Director, a WTA international event happening in August, and he's also the Chief Marketing Officer for NYJTL, and you started off in the ticket offices of the USTA, and now here we are, you're about to run the show.
Well, we're going to see. I mean, I've had a lot of lives in the sport. I've literally done almost every job. People would make fun of me at the USTA when I was there because I did have a chance in quite a few different departments.
It's crazy to hear so much NYJTL, and it's just funny how small a world it is because I was totally part of the NYJTL, and my dad recently just sent me a video of me like hitting these courts, these indoor courts, and I mean, I was probably 6 years old. The racket was twice my size, and I still remember it just like it was yesterday. But I mean, it's such a huge part of so many American, I feel like, Eastern section kind of players. Like, it was a huge part of my life. I know for that for sure.
I mean, that's so awesome. That's my everyday. So, I mean, as you mentioned, I'm the chief marketing officer for New York Junior Tennis and Learning. And, you know, we are a tennis and education program. We actually are the largest youth tennis and education nonprofit in the nation. And that's our daily work. And now the NYJTL Bronx Open is like the ultimate aspirational event for our kids. And, you know, we work with over 10,000 kids throughout the year. So our reach is much bigger when you talk about all the training we do in the schools. But we are in all five boroughs. We are throughout the city. And it's like park, schoolyard, gymnasium. We are everywhere.
But tennis in Bronx isn't new, because you mentioned to me that there used to be a WTA ATP tournament here before, right? In the Bronx. And now it's Kerry Leeds is the new center, which is the new home of the Bronx Open, right?
Yeah. So it's an amazing history. The organization's almost 48 years old. We had an event in here from 1993 to 2012. And then we built this Kerry Leeds Center. It's a $26.5 million state-of-the-art facility. And Kerry Leeds himself was a great tennis player. He played for Yale, long history. And it's, you know, I think players are going to come back. They're going to see what's here. Like, I cannot believe what is here in the Bronx now. It's beautiful.
Everyone's excited for this tournament. Everyone in New York area is excited for this tournament. I'm excited for this tournament. How do you make a tournament? How did you end up pulled into this? And what are like some of the cogs and the things that happen behind the scenes? Like you said, donations are a big part. The NYJTL is the backing of this. The Kerry Leeds Center is here. You have to hire, I mean, tournament director. You got hired. There's umpires. There's WTA. There's TV. Like, this sounds like chaos to me.
A little bit of chaos, but a lot of dreams. So we worked on this event. We knew we were going to bring back a tennis tournament. And we really spent the last year or so fundraising. And we were all set to run a 100K USTA Challenger event. And we're simply over the moon. And then it was a matter of circumstance, and the WTA approached us, and we had this opportunity to host a 250K international. So between the USTA and the WTA, they've given us like tremendous support for this tournament. It's more than we could ever dream of. So it's been a big year, a good year. We've been working hard. Chaos is probably not the word I want to use, but I would say it is nonstop.
For those of you listening, I was actually part of the WTA Council Board. So I was in the meetings when we would get different pitches, if you will, from different places all over the world saying, hey, we want to run a tennis tournament. So that is, I think, probably one of the first steps. You have to kind of send almost like a business plan in. Is that right? Like to get them to come in and see the facility to make sure that it's up to par. Does that sound about right, Joe?
Yeah. You know, actually, a couple years ago, Steve Simon came in. I think the first time was 2 years ago. We invited him to look at the site, and he loved it right from the beginning. And then when this opportunity came up again, he flew right in, and he took a look around. And for me, that was really a dream, because to have him walk around and tell you how he could see the tournament run, I mean, as a first-time tournament director, it's some pretty good tips. You know, it's like, okay, you think so? Let's do it.
Yeah, he would know. He would know.
Yeah.
What's been like the most, I guess, interesting, like craziest thing that you've had to deal with as a first time tournament director? Because obviously, I mean, we all know about like, okay, you have to get all the players in there, the hotel sorted, transportation. There's a lot of like obvious ones. But what's been like the craziest thing that you're like, wait, they want this like at a tournament, or this is what I have to do, really?
You know, it's hard to say just one, because honestly, there's been so many. The hotel's complicated, yes. Transportation's complicated, yes. The site setup's complicated, yes. You know, we're on Parks Land, and we have this amazing relationship with Parks. And, you know, getting all the permitting in and vehicles coming on and off and license plates. And it's, you know, it's intense. It really is intense. So I wish I had like one thing, but Irina, it's honestly like 15 things. You know, it's every time you turn around, there's more detail. The tournament doctor, the amount of level and the professionalism of the WTA and, you know, how much, you know, as a first time director, you don't realize how much care and process is into it, down to an ambulance waiting on site, to all the prescriptions in the bag, to, you know, the contracts bringing on the medical team. So that's, you know, that's one line item out of maybe 150 things, and it's involved.
And people mostly largely care about the player field. They want to know who the big names are, who the stars are, who the rising Americans are. I mean, this is, I know there's a lot that goes on in a tournament, as you just said, but people really only care about the stars. And the player field, from what I can tell, is a good one. We have Wang Qiang as the first seed so far, Joanna Konta, Annette Kontaveit, Carla Suarez Navarro, Maria Sakkari, Danielle Collins, and a girl I'm excited about, Diana Yastremska, a fast rising star. You have a combination of veterans, young players. There's going to be a ton of wild cards, Americans. Barbara Strizova, people love her. I mean, there's a lot of players that are in because it's before the US Open. They're not playing US Open qualifying, at least those players that aren't will be here. It makes sense to play a few matches. I mean, does it make sense to play matches before the US Open?
Oh, 100%. I know that there's one girl that is going all the way to Vancouver before US Open qualies, and you just got to wonder, like, what are you doing? You know, if you have a deep run there, like, the travel is just so much. But if you go and you play in the Bronx, I mean, what better warm-up? You're in the same state. I know it's a different borough, but at least you're in the same state. It's not that much travel if you're just going to stick around for the Open right afterwards. I mean, it can't be a better setup or warm-up tournament, to be honest.
I mean, I think that's why our field is so good. I mean, you think it's you know, you're saying it's a different borough, but honestly, the distance from where the players are staying in Manhattan, we might be a hair closer. Mm-hmm. You know, so the commute is good. And I think that's why the field is so intense. And you're right. I think that's why, you know, people are like, I'm in New York. I'm tuning up for the Open. We've got a great, you know, we have a small main draw and then a field of 48 in quali. So, well, you know, step back. You're going to see some good tennis.
And it's free.
So it's open to the public, which is amazing, which is part of our mission. Now, people can make, you know, we have a suggested donation for adults, you know, to support our tennis and education programs. But you have to realize we were set up as this 100K and we had a 20-year history in this park. You know, and if this was something that we had more set up, we might have taken a different approach. But, you know, we serve kids in the community, so it's open to the public. If you want to make a donation to the programs, good for you. Great.
Good to know.
I love the fact that it's in the Bronx. I grew up in 207th and Broadway, Joe. So, I grew up playing in Inwood. I mean, it's not that far. My sister was born in the Bronx. So, I mean, I would travel.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com.
At Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care, and we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it, all while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Almost every day, my dad would come back from work at like 4 o'clock and I would get in the car and we would go to the Stadium Racquet Club that was right next to Yankee Stadium. So, I mean, it's pretty cool. I'm kind of sad that I actually never got to play it when it was a 100K. But yeah, I'm just excited. I know that the players are going to be just looking forward to the tournament, but also knowing like, hey, I don't have to travel a lot to get to my next tournament. And some players are probably just staying in the same hotel that they would once they start playing the Open anyway.
Well, let's break it here. Why don't we announce that you're playing it next year?
Yeah.
We're committed.
That would be amazing. I would gladly play that. I'm already pumped about it.
I mean, I know I'm the guest, but I mean, what was your experience with NYJTL? So that's so fascinating to me. And you're a pro player, and I've been a fan. I saw you run across the court with the flag, and I was cheering with everybody else. So,
oh, that's so cool. Well, yeah, it feels like forever ago. So to be honest, there's very little that I actually remember before I was 9 years old. But I saw that video the other day, and I could have been 5 or 8. I was short anyway at both those ages, so I really can't remember. But yeah, I just remember seeing me hit, I was so intense on hitting the crap out of the ball. And I was just trying to get in on all these players and all these girls. I mean, they're like twice my size. But we would be there during the winter. I mean, it was 5 o'clock. It was pitch black. And I would get in the car with my dad and I would just go over there and I would hit with all these kids. And it was just so much fun. And I know Katrina Adams, every time she sees me, she's like, fellow NYJTL player. I'm like, yeah, that's pretty cool. I mean, it's amazing how many kids you were able to reach. And yeah, you have a couple of pro players that probably have gone through the NYJTL system.
Yeah, I mean, so I know you talked to Lisa Huber, and she's our executive director of the Cara Elite Center for Tennis. And we also have Asha Roll. So Asha Roll is on our staff. She was 82 in the world, and she won the Bronx Open in doubles in 2011 and was a finalist twice in singles in 07 and 08. So we've got the history here. So
that's pretty cool.
I mean, I just feel like the NYJTL adds a cool element to this. A lot of tournaments have history, obviously, famous faces, all of that. But to have the kids involved is really important, because what if one of these kids at this tournament ends up winning it in 20 years or something? I mean, you don't know. And that's kind of what you see with Irina. Like, you came through this and you used this program and now you're on the tour. Like, it's pretty cool. But I also want to know, player recruitment. Do you have to reach out and find these players? And, you have contacts from your USTA background? Can you text a player and entice them? Do you pay them these fees? How does this all work? Are you offering out, I don't know, they're called appearance fees, aren't they? Is this something that you're in charge of?
I'm so glad you said that, because, I was telling you, another life, I opened up the player development unit in New York with Tim Mea all those years ago. So we've had the chance to work with some really great local talent, like Bavara Lipchenko and Christina McHale. Christiane came out to train with us a ton of times. Luisa Chirico, Jamie Loeb. So, I mean, we'd love to have these women in the tournament. And, I'm not going to give away any secrets yet, but we're going to have a ton of American wildcards. And they're going to come out. And we're going to be filled with young, aspiring American tennis players. And we're going to have great players who are top ranked, as we mentioned, Wang and Konta and Kontaveit, and Daniel Collins came. Daniel Collins was out here with New Balance on a shoot last year, and she's in the draw, and I'm so excited for her to play. I'm a big fan of her as well. But I'd love to see other bigger American names, like Coco Vandeweghe's really helped out NYJTL in the past. I'd love to see her in the mix if it's possible. Bethany Maddox Sands is going to be our honoree this year at the Leadership Luncheon. Another incredible American talent. I'd love to see if that turns out our way as well. So we have a good field. I mean, I can't even not sound excited, because our field is incredible. So if you like tennis, come here.
It's a perfect sell. And I'm on board, because it takes about, from the center of the city, it could take you an hour to get to Flushing, take an hour to get here. So arguably, if you're in a car, it ends up being about the same thing.
You have the ability in New York to pretty much just walk a couple of blocks maybe and find a public tennis court. And I remember, I think I was maybe 7 years old, and we went to Central Park. It was either through Reebok or NYJTL. I cannot remember.
Yeah.
But I got to take a picture with Steffi Graf and hit with Jimmy Connors. And I remember that. And my parents still to this day, they have that framed photo of me shaking hands with Jimmy, and I'm 1/3 of his size. and me and Steffi Graf and my sister. And I mean, I still remember that. I'm like, those are the moments that you remember for your entire life. And it's just pretty cool to me, the fact that you have so many kids that are going to have the opportunity to pretty much shake hands and rub shoulders with professional players. I mean, you never know what that impact can bring to their lives.
You are so right. I mean, we're so lucky because we're next to the US Open. I mean, last year alone, we had Nick Kyrgios and Francis Tiafoe come out with Yonex. And I mean, they're incredible. Like when you see these players who really love kids and inspire kids, they know Francis' story down in DC. Nick Kyrgios is like right with the kids. I told you Danielle Collins was out here. We got to meet Serena last year. She spent so much time with our kids. Venus played a matchup here. She sent a picture of our girls out on Instagram afterwards and was like, this is my favorite part of being here. Like when you see the players who are so inspirational to come in and they give back so much, it just makes you really enjoy what you do, you know?
It's all worth it at that point.
I think it all kind of, it means more when there's something more behind it than just players making money and tournaments trying to make money and everyone's just obsessed with, you know, success in that, you know, monetary value, while instead of thinking about the kids in the local area. And I think part of it, though, here is it's unique because it's the Bronx. And even I live in New York for 5 years. And when I think of the Bronx, I think far away, sketchy, scary. And that's kind of a negative connotation. I think, Irina, you don't agree because you grew up around here, but that's how I think of it. And I think that's something that you have to fight as well, because you have to clear that out and think tennis.
We work so much with the Bronx Borough president. I mean, Ruben Diaz Jr. is really supportive of our work. He came out last week for our World Team Tennis New York Empire matches. He's been really supportive of this tournament as well. So, you know, I have a different opinion now. So, and I come out to the center, and the center is beautiful. So, we are gritty, we're earthy, we are true New Yorkers. And I think the players are going to enjoy it too. I mean, I worked for the Davis Cup Fed Cup team for a number of years, and I did all this community tennis events with the players. So I see from their point of view too, like they're just trying to figure it out, but I think the people here are really going to respond well. So we'll see.
It probably had a negative connotation back when I was growing up, but like all places, you're going to have some sketchy areas in all places, no matter where you are, right? I mean, I went to school in middle school. I would take the A train from 207 to Harlem every single day. And that's where I went to middle school. And back in the day, that was just what you did. But if you told that to someone today, they'd be like, oh my gosh, but guess what? Harlem is so nice now.
True. Very true.
And look how you turned out, girl. You look good.
Exactly. You know what? If anything, Harlem made me like super gangster. That's what I owe it to.
You know, people don't realize New Yorkers, we are the friendliest people in the world. We just have a little bit of an edge. It's like, tell us what you want now. We're going to give you the information, but it's going to be quick and we're going to move on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I wanted to know, okay, so this is the first year you're running the Bronx Open. Do you have any thoughts of looking ahead? We'll be back next year. Can you guarantee that? How does this stay on the calendar and even grow?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, before we were the 250K, we were a tournament. So we were the 100K challenger. At this point, we know we're going to be an annual event. We had 20 years of history doing it. We now have this amazing center. I think the level's to be determined. You know, we'll see. I know. So book your calendars. We're in, and now just see how grand it is.
And if someone wants to find out more, and you know, not buy tickets, but learn more about the Bronx Open, where are we sending them?
So you go to nyjtlbronxopen.org. That is a mouthful, but it was as short as we could make it. nyjtlbronxopen.org.
Okay, perfect. So that's the website to go to learn more about the Bronx Open, which is a WTA international event. Top 50 starts. I mean, a loaded field of top 50 players. I don't know what more you want. Runs August 16th is when qualifying starts. August 18th, the main draw begins just before the US Open. Couldn't be more perfect. And Irina's going to play it next year.
That truly is the plan. So, okay, so you have a husband and you have two children. Are they into tennis as much as you are? Like, do they have the love for it? Like, to go and get on a plane and volunteer and roam kind of love for it?
So, my youngest son is at camp this week here. I'm calling player development on a weekly basis. No, I'm just kidding. I think my oldest son is going to be a theater lover, and my youngest is going to be a tennis and soccer lover. So, but they're playing the sport and they're enjoying it. So,
do you want them to play sports or go into theater? Do you think about, I don't know, pushing them certain ways, or is it kind of like try everything?
Well, when I had two boys, I was like, oh my God, I've got a Wimbledon doubles team. Like, I've got the champions here. And now at 5 and 8, I'm like, they're happy and healthy. You know, it's, I don't, you know, they're just, they have, that's the thing. Kids have such strong personalities and I just, they're doing great. Tennis will be a big part of their lives.
And your husband is supportive of this madness you've undertook for the Bronx Open. How is he involved in, is he in tennis? Is he a big fan or...
So,
are you on your own?
So we are like, we go on vacation and we play tennis together. That is like the only time. He likes tennis. He's in the theater business. He's like done a ton of Broadway shows before. So it's like two different worlds. But I will tell you, if I did not have him, there is no way to do all this work. I mean, you think it's like, I mean, this is literally my dream. I've thought about being a tournament director for 20 years. The stars align. It's a great opportunity. I mean, I was literally Due Ponti, the practice courts in Rome, like with my poor Italian communicating with like transportation. It was hilarious. And now 20 years later, here I am. But it's, I mean, it's all day, all night. It's 24/7. So you cannot do without a great team and sports system. And I got it.
Yeah, he's got to be patient to let you work around the clock to get ready for this.
Yeah, I mean, thank God, you know, what's great is that you execute and there is an event. So, you know, there's a window. So I'm in that window. I'm in the thick of it. And the second week of the Open, I cannot wait to celebrate. Let's get drinks.
I'm in.
If there's one thing that you can, I mean, if you can get past doing a practice desk at any tournament, like, that's unbelievable. Because I mean, I will tell you, like, that has got to be the hardest job 100% I think at a tournament.
So I told you I had literally every job in tennis. So I ran the player services desk, the player concierge desk for the Open for like almost a decade. So here I was like, we need to treat these players right. So you know who's going to run our practice court desk? Asha Roll. I was like, I need somebody who knows what to do. You know, I've worked with the players a lot of years and their favorite line is, if you don't know what you're doing, is, well, you know how they do it at another place. And guess what? Asha does. So we put like really strong talent there. I was like, Asha, I need you. So she's coming through. We're going to have a great practice court desk. Thank you.
That's problem solving and cutting things off at the head right there and then.
Smart play, man. Smart play.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about sharing a court sometimes in warm-up, Irina? What do you feel about that?
I really could care less. I mean, I really don't mind. But my favorite is when... So you have a practice that's at 12 o'clock, right? And there's a girl that's fourth on and wants to do a warm-up at 12:30. And the only available court is to share with these girls that have allotted an hour to warm up quickly and play points. So... the player that's coming in that has a match has priority. So they can come in and ruin the other girl's practice because she is deciding to warm up at 12:30 instead of 12. That's my favorite. And so all of a sudden you have 1 hour of just like going cross and hitting serves when in fact you wanted to play points. I don't know if that makes sense to everyone, but for all those tennis players that have experienced this, I'm sure you've experienced this too, Joe. Like, I'm sure girls have complained to you about it. Like, it's not fun.
Yeah, I mean, it is intense. I have to say, like, these women are here to work, and practice court is a serious thing. We have got the three required practice courts. But, you know, listen, this site here, we have access to 20 courts plus the two stadiums. So we're going to have a little bit of flexibility.
Oh, you'll be fine.
Asha's going to take care of those ladies.
You relying on a good team. That is the key to success here, what we've learned.
And just relying on also ex-tennis players. That's the key too.
Hiring former tennis players and letting them have their chance. Also the key.
Well, I mean, when we have our weekly meetings, literally like Liesl and Asha like drilling us. You know, like, oh, they're not going to go for that. They're not going to go for that. I'm like, complain to me now so that we can, you know, we can meet the right expectations. We love having that. I mean, you know, so we also have this woman, her name is Pam Glick. She was a tournament director here for, I think, the last 5 or 6 years. She's a tournament manager this year, has so much internal knowledge. I said, we have Liesl, we have Asha. I've been in the business 20 years. So, you know, we have some ops background. We have quite a bit. And listen, this is big and it's coming on fast, but we're putting in the work.
I mean, having Liesl Huber on your staff is wild. Like, former number one, 7-time Grand Slam champion, and she's just roaming around, you know, helping kids and sharing her wisdom. That's insane.
Yeah, that's our daily life. I mean, Liesl and I are pulling off clinics all over the place. And, I mean, the great thing is when you're number one in the world, you've got this work ethic and this drive. And we're pulling off a lot of stuff. And you know, that's compliment to the whole team. The whole team is really, we're putting in the hours.
Wow. It's been awesome. I would not have picked a better team to run a tournament. You guys are going to do a phenomenal job and can't wait to play next year.
Yeah, Irina, so excited for you.
Can I say one last? Irina. I'm so happy to be here because, Irina, we have this really great mutual friend. Erica Perkins Jasper.
Oh my gosh.
Felt like I've been your best friend for like the last 10, 15 years because like I just talked about you to Erica all the time. So now I'm here with you. So it's a small tennis world and hilarious. So now we're friends too.
Oh my God. That is so funny. It's really a small tennis world. She is the bomb. She is, she always tells me, she's like, you know, we're going to run USTA and like, everything one day. I'm like, yeah, okay, Erica, we got this. But yeah, no, I'm cheering for her. She's amazing. I mean, every time I get together with her, I'm just like, there's not enough hours in the day. I just love her. And yeah, I am glad that we have that mutual friend. You must be good people to have her vouch for you like that.
I think we'll end on that note. We'll wrap this episode up of the Tennis.com podcast. We've been at the Carrie Leeds Tennis Center for Learning, which is the host of the Bronx Open starting August 16th. Again, what was the website?
www.nyjtlbronxopen.org.
And our guest has been Joe Sariello, the tournament director of the Bronx Open and the CMO of the NYJTL. I've been Nina Pantic.
And I'm Irina Falcone. Thanks for listening and thank you so much for being with us today, Joe.
Thanks so much for having us. We are so excited at NYJTL to pull off this tournament.